This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, two in the books, 1 hour still to go of the big show as we continue to roll. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, and we're all here in studio. We were covering news of the day. Central Florida passed and moved on from Kevin Sumlin after negotiations stalled. They decided on Josh Heupel, the one-time Heisman runner-up from Oklahoma, who was the offensive coordinator at Missouri. He's going to jump over and take that job that Scott Frost left when he went to Nebraska. He's hired Randy Shannon as his defensive coordinator. Shannon, who was most recently the interim coach at Florida, and before that was the one-time head coach at the U, is going to be his D coordinator. So they're getting some coach clout there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay on Twitter just had a fantastic suggestion. With Taggart leaving Oregon, Kevin Sumlin would be a good fit for the Ducks. Not a bad call at all.
I don't think that's bad at all.
It's so funny to me how we look at it. Well, and I would be the first to tell you that I think Kevin Sumlin didn't do a good job at A&M and needed to move on. But then we forget that when we talk about these guys going to other programs, like, oh, yeah, that would make great sense. Well, why? And I'm not saying you guys. I'm just talking in general because I think sometimes you forget he did all right. He didn't do great. He didn't meet expectations. What's going to be different in the Pac-12 other than the fact that maybe the competition isn't as stiff, although, you know, they're having a down year. But most of the time, the Pac-12 is pretty competitive.
Washington State, UCLA.
USC.
Yep.
So at Stanford, and you got a recruit
and
there.
Stanford,
and
right.
He's been Oklahoma. You know, Kevin Sumlin was in Oklahoma. He was at U of H. He's A&M. So it's not like he's got a stronghold on out west. So other than a little bit of reputation, if he was that good, why let him go?
I mean, you make
maybe what he did
points.
On a weird, smaller and I'm not,
again,
school level.
That isn't you guys. I'm just saying in general, right. This coaching carousel where we're like, wow, well, what if Jimbo Fisher comes here? I know why Jimbo Fisher left Florida State. It wasn't because he wasn't good. It's because he felt like he was fighting with one hand tied behind his back.
Right,
so
right.
I get that move. But then someone was fired. Some of these other guys that are retreads are fired, but yet they just like, oh, well, you know, this guy that just got fired should go here, and that would be a good one. Unless it's like, unless someone was taking a job at SMU, which I think would be good, where, oh, yeah, look at that, you know, or someone to UCF or something like that. But I don't know. All of a sudden, if he's that good of a coach, then.
And on the flip side, I think he believed the hype regardless, because now I think that's probably why the negotiation stalled with UCF, was he was probably trying to get the kind of contract and sweetheart deal that he was getting at
A&M. I was thinking that, too.
So now that's why Oregon seems to make sense for me. But I just, again, the same author, John Canzano, who reported Willie Taggart leaving Oregon, has also put out the names of potential replacements at Oregon, including Mario Cristobal, Jim Levitt, Boise State's Brian Harsin, and of course...
That one makes sense to me.
It does. It very, very much so, especially in the Pacific Northwest. Washington State's Mike Leach and Kevin Sumlin.
And I think Mike Leach would be an upgrade for the Oregon program from where he is now.
Agreed.
It would be an upgrade for him. And I don't think he's not being fired from where he's at.
Nope.
He has rebuilt his reputation. And I think, so to me, that move makes sense. But going and getting like kind of a almost, I wouldn't want to call Kevin Sumlin a retread because I think he will rebound from what he's done. But it's kind of a weird, I don't know.
I'm just not sure when you talk about a Mike Leach being a good fit with a Phil Knight. Nike has an image, and when he does some of those wild press conferences and goes on tangents about Sasquatches and married life.
That can only help, though, right?
It's,
I mean, Oregon's always been out in front as a leader, and, you know, you want the pub.
You think?
Yeah. Trust me, if anyone understands marketing, it's
Phil
Knight.
It's Phil Knight, absolutely.
And Leach is a great marketer for your program. You know, especially when you find
just
out,
ask him anything.
But especially when you find out that some of the stuff that had happened in the past that he was accused of wasn't necessarily true, you can get past that. And now he's just a funny dude that's a good football coach.
But some of it was true, was it not? That he had an issue with Craig James, the former running back from SMU and the former broadcaster, Craig James's son, and that whether he locked him in a locker room or
I think that's the part that was never proved to be true.
That was out there. I don't know how much of it was true.
That's the part I'm talking about.
Okay.
That kind of stuff was proven to not be 100% true. Unless there was an article that I missed.
I thought that he didn't run from the fact that he was disciplining James's kid. Now, whether it got to the specifics of the phone room or whatever, the broom closet or whatever it was or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think the way it ended up happening was that a lot of that proved to not be true, or there wasn't enough proof. I could be wrong. I may have missed articles or
it's
reports
like no
or whatever.
Recording of a guy saying that he went with a bet that he didn't go with. I get it. I totally understand. Now, the weird thing to me is Darren Revelle just tweeted out that Willie Taggart is going to have his press conference tomorrow at Florida State. He's been the head coach of three programs in 365 days. South Florida for one day, then Oregon, and now Florida State. Why was he only at South Florida for one day? What am I missing here?
Well, would you go to Oregon if you were at South Florida and Oregon came a calling?
Yeah, but once you sign, unless you didn't sign on the dotted line, if you just agreed to it, then good for you for being.
Well, if you were there for a day, you were signed. But if he has an out, he has an out.
Well, there's probably a buyout involved, too, because that's what universities are doing now.
No, I mean, I'm sure that there was probably something. I can go to these schools. If an FBS school or these particular schools, these top 20 schools offer me, I can leave at any point.
I get that, but I also know that a lot of schools have put in a complete buyout.
But I doubt South Florida would do that. I could see Sumlin and A&M.
It's in that recruiting hotbed of Florida.
Well, I'm just trying to rationalize it for you. I don't know.
Okay.
What about, did you, I didn't understand this, and maybe you can help me understand it. But SI published their Sports Person of the Year, which,
yep.
All right, it's just weird to say sports person, but I was reading
I
was reading Sarah Barshop's article on it, and the Sports Persons of the Year is Jose Altuve and J.J. Watt. And the Sports Persons is an award that's given out for sportsmanship off the field as well as on, right?
Yep.
Like what they do off the field. Can you help me understand why J.J. Watt didn't win this by himself?
Lisa asked me almost the exact same question this morning. And my only answer to her is, in selecting this, this was more or less saying this was an homage to the entire city of Houston. Because obviously, J.J. won it for off the field. And if you talk about the Sportsman of the Year in terms of on the playing surface, whether it be a field, a court, whatever it is, hard to argue with the MVP, the World Series champion, and all the awards that we've chronicled that he's won over the course of the years. And I felt like it was a combo platter. It was like, you know, kind of like with this, you get fries. So you get Jose Altuve and J.J. Watt, and as a whole, representing Houston and all that they went through with Hurricane Harvey and all that the baseball team achieved and all that J.J. achieved by raising all that money for the city of Houston, it was like a combo award, in my opinion.
Okay.
That would be the best.
That's my guess.
Shot
I mean, it has to be for purposes of traction. They knew that it would get more traction by adding J.J. Watt and Jose Altuve. I just wish they were both standing up in the picture so we could see how much smaller Altuve is compared to J.J. Watt.
The other thing I was wondering is, could J.J. get into like dress pants? Because that knee is still pretty wrecked.
Well, maybe that's why.
A good question.
Oh yeah, they do show his
like
his
one
leg there.
Is like completely out. Like I don't know if they just cut the pants or how they did that.
Yeah. This is weird to me. I want to see what the requirements are. I was looking for it. Sportsmen should always transcend the mere playing of the game. I hold that sacred. This was the guy that came out, I guess, came up with the award for SI. I don't know. That just didn't make sense to me.
Should there be a criteria, though?
I mean, give it to one or give it to the other. But both just seems like you're trying too hard, Sports Illustrated.
I totally get that, yeah.
Like, oh, let's throw in a few more. Oh, look, Harden, hey!
And here's the thing. If Venus Williams wins it, then call it Sports Person. But otherwise, it's always been the Sportsman of the Year. And if it is going to be...
Even if Venus Williams wins it, just call it the Sportsman of the Year because no one is saying you have to be a man to win the award. But it's to me... I don't know. That's so nitpicky. I don't know.
It is, but yet
because
you understand it in society today.
I get it, but at the same time, when you're saying you're, I don't think anyone means specifically a man is the only one eligible for the award. It's just I don't know. Whatever. I've give up trying
to
explain.
Too,
it.
I just look because I figured. I kind of thought like you. Maybe just because it's a sportsman, it could be awarded. Two of the three definitions has a man, but one of them does say a person who behaves sportingly, But there's one that says a man who takes part in a sport. Another one says a man who hunts or shoots. So I guess it is referred to a man.
But I would have. It's. I don't know how to put this.
You're struggling with this.
Yeah, I don't know how to put it without sounding like a jerk or without offending somebody.
I know what you're exactly what's on your mind.
I guess what I'm trying to say is when I call someone a sportsman, I don't think gender. I think of it as a classification of someone who plays sports, whether that be a man or a woman.
That's not a bad way to put it.
It's just a classification of an athlete to me. Just call it athlete of the year.
That's not a bad way to put it.
You shut your mouth. But just to me, it's the same thing as saying athlete of the year. Sportsman of the year and athlete of the year.
I think that's the best way to put it because now it doesn't matter what gender you are.
But I think what they're trying to say is by what you said, what was that definition you said of sportsman?
Because it's not what they do on the field.
A man who hunts or shoots, a man who takes part in a sport, and a person who behaves sportingly.
A person who behaves, so it's about behavior as much as it is athletics, which is why they're not calling it the athlete of the year. Because you look, I mean, JJ didn't play, but what he did off the field for his community as an athlete was worthy of sport, you know, a sportsman of the year award.
I'll just go with the Sports Illustrated man or woman.
Maybe it's not silly. I don't know. I'm not a woman. I can't say if it would be silly to me or not.
Okay, from now on, it'll be the Sports Illustrated athletically or not man or woman of the year award.
So are we going to start? So we say, hey, you're showing poor sportsmanship, right? That's a word, sportsmanship. You're showing poor sportsmanship. Are we going to have to start saying you're showing poor sportspersonship?
It's possible.
Because I'm out on that. I'm not saying that. Yeah, that's stupid. And that's the same point. That's the vein of what is being said. It's not a classification of gender. It's a word, sportsmanship.
You're all fired up, and I get it.
Damn it! No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that passionate about it.
All right, so we got Juan is on hold. He wants to rewind a little bit, get back to that game last night.
Fan Juan.
I bet you're right. And also, we've got other things to get to, including a Woj bomb. If you don't know, you better ask somebody because Adrian Wojnarowski is the bomber when it comes to breaking news in the NBA and other things. And he let a tweet go, I believe, this morning or yesterday to basically follow up on the fact that LaVar Ball has pulled out LiAngelo Ball from UCLA. And he's on his fast path to the NBA, according to LaVar. Woj may have a little bit to disagree with. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a whole lot more. Hang in there. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back in the final hour of the big show. It's kind of flown by today. It's Nick, Barry, Joel. It is The Usual Suspects on a cloudy, rainy, chilly Barry.
It's cooling off. I like it. I ordered a sweatshirt from H&M.
Did you?
It'll be here Thursday. Yeah, it just
slim
says,
fit?
No, it's not. I don't think it's slim.
God, I thought
most of their stuff is slim fit,
yes,
though. You got to be careful.
Yes, it's Rahilish.
Barry's into the slim fit.
I know.
I mean, I'm wearing skinny jeans today.
I did think of this for you. A friend of mine found it, and I got to see. I actually inquired if it was actually available. They have
an
ugly Christmas sweater sweatshirt. It's not literally a sweatshirt. It's a sweatshirt, but it looks like a sweater with an ugly Christmas crying Jordan meme on the front.
Is that what you're getting me for Christmas?
No, that would be expecting too much. But I was inquiring to see if you would be interested in getting one.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how much it is, but yeah.
I would love a crying. I don't know.
I would love a crying Jordan sweater. Are you kidding me?
I'll check and see if it's available.
Somebody said, please give out the website for the book again. I'll leave that up to you.
Yes, I can do that right now. It is winnersbooks.com.
Winnersbooks.com.
And
Q17.
Houston 17.
Houston
10% off.
Houston 17. Get you 10% off the book.
You really was, Dr. Dre?
It really was a good looking book.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. Do you guys have an idea for Way Back Wednesday tomorrow? If you don't, you should do Guilty Pleasure songs. Songs that you don't want to admit you like but jam out to when you're by yourself. So we talked about that a little bit. Nick threw that out last week. Instead of doing songs we hate, which is what we did last week, we should do basically songs you're supposed to hate but don't, a.k.a. Guilty Pleasure songs. Is this one of yours?
Well, I won't use it, but yeah, this
Carly
is my
Carly Rae Jepsen?
Yep. Shut up,
But
man.
That's not prior to 2000.
Oh, yeah, it has to be pre-2000. There was chick flicks pre-2000.
The commissioner has spoken, Nick. You know the rules. Follow them, please. No cheating or lying. Just letting you know.
But, last night when I was doing my HIIT workout.
Your what?
My HIIT workout. High intensity interval training.
Oh, I thought you said hip workout.
No. I did too. Because you know you got to work on your hip turn. You definitely got to work on your hip turn.
Yeah, guys. I'm doing an all. I'm just these saddlebags. Ugh. I just look so bad in my yoga pants. So I'm working on my hips a lot. And I just put Shakira on. Hips don't lie.
Have you ever Googled butt workouts?
Have I ever Googled butt workouts? Yeah. No.
Nick does when he's on the couch alone.
I have.
You've Googled butt workouts?
Yeah, and it's like all females. Like if you go to YouTube.
Just of course it is.
And it's just like all just.
Oh, that's why you're Googling.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were Googling it for the actual exercise.
Done it at home on a Friday night at about 10.
I don't know about Friday night, Joel. You shut your mouth.
Is that a category on Pornhub?
It might be.
Butt workout?
It should.
I think they call
it. But remember how we were talking about like people that like feet
and all
that stuff?
They call that male on male.
That's a big thing with dudes. Dudes love the yoga pants and the workout pants.
Do they?
To look at or on? To wear.
Oh, to look at. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You know what I thought? Like, what? To wear?
Yeah.
No. I did see somebody, I don't know who it was on my Facebook, that was like, hey, why can't dudes wear like legging pants? Like
they do, but it's like under.
Because they're comfortable. I was like, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Unless you're a douche, Nick. Yes, they are under
now,
the shorts that you wear. But a lot of guys.
I do have a pair of Nike long. They're not long johns, but they have like zip. They zip at the bottom, but they're tight. They're real. They're not
tights,
yoga pants.
But they're tight.
Yeah, they're not tights like Lululemon
yoga pants.
But they're for running in cold weather. So they're full length. They go all the way to your ankle and they zip at the bottom. Those are comfy to run in the winter, but I'm not just rocking them to the mall. I'm not just going to be like, hey, check me out.
What I'm saying, Nick, is if you're not douchey, if you're going to wear
You also...
Because I see it at the gym is what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you're going to wear tights, you wear shorts over them.
Right.
Then you're not douchey.
Right.
But there are dudes,
including
dudes that go to the gym, that just wear the tights.
Absolutely.
If I was hung like a mule, I probably wouldn't wear shorts over them, I'll be honest with you. I'll just be like, whatever.
Right here at Richmond and 610, before it was 24-hour fitness and all those other things, it was World Gym. And I had a ton of friends. We were all members at that World Gym. And there was a dude. And he did it intentionally. Because the dude literally had it taped to his thigh. And he only weighed about $125.
But I guarantee you, dudes.
But I guarantee you that at least 16 pounds of it was probably what he had taped to his leg. And it wasn't a concealed weapon.
See?
But it could be.
They got put shorts over that? Hell no.
Male and female, everybody was commenting like, he's doing that purposely.
Yeah.
And there was no doubt
that he
found every mirror in the joint, too.
Wouldn't you? Be real.
Be real. Get out of here.
Come on. You know you would.
I would not.
Joel.
Joel better not.
You'd have.
No, you're not.
You know how when you get foot surgery.
The right people will find out what you have at the right time.
You know how when you get foot surgery and you see those people, who was it? Was it Sherman that was moving around on the little scooter, for your knees on it?
Yeah, Richard Sherman, yeah.
Yeah, I'd get one of those for it. I'd just put that on the scooter and walk around with it. I'm showing it off. You kidding me? Black Greg said, Leach isn't good with boosters. Barry acts like Sunlin was a losing coach. He's won everywhere he's been. I'll tell you what, 8-4 at A&M, you might as well be a losing coach. When you're playing in the Belk Bowl,
SEC, yeah. So.
And you're in the SEC and you made that move because it was going to be better for you. Yeah, you at 8-4 at A&M, you might as well be a losing coach. That's just not going to be acceptable.
You're the ag
at a big program
I'll
like
take your
that.
Word for it.
Mandy said snowflakes are too sensitive. It's sportsmanship. I agree. Or sportsman. I agree, Mandy. Thank you. Got a female chiming in. It's good to have at least one of them's got my back. And somebody texted in, anything but Kesha, Guilty Pleasures.
Well, she's not pre-2000.
She doesn't qualify,
no.
Right?
Have no fear. I don't know how some of you still don't get that. Not you guys, but listeners. We've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
And to this day, they still don't understand that a Way Back Wednesday has to be prior to 2000.
Song. Yeah.
Yeah,
we need y'all to get your bleep together.
It's not like these rules have changed a lot.
No.
We've had one
not
consistent
one
rule.
Not one bit, yeah. Billy Idol Dancing with Myself. That's not a...
Why are we getting suggestions now when Way Back Wednesday is on a Wednesday, not a Tuesday?
Well, I think they're just offering up maybe their own.
Well, we don't need any more offers. We didn't pass the plate.
Okay.
If we want offers, we'll pass the plate. We got
Salty
it tomorrow.
Joel.
Way Back Wednesday. I'm just breaking it down
Salty
for you, buddy.
Joel.
All right, let's quit get to these calls before we go to break. Yeah, quit yelling. Juan, you've been holding a long time. You want to talk Steelers-Bengals. What's up, man?
Hey, here we go. Steelers. Here we go.
All right.
Two examples of bad defense, not just the Xavier attempted tackle, which isn't even a tackle, it's a hit. what about that sideline ole where was it Brown? Yeah, you know, I've been complaining about defending in sports, period, for years, you know. So what is it that scares these football players from using their face mask to get in there? Get in there and wrap up and try to, instead of tackle them, knock them down. That's not a tackle. That's a hit. And then they bounce off or you jump over. I got to keep going. I can't keep going, but I'll listen off that.
Nick, did you see it last
night? Appreciate it, Juan.
Because it was the one hit? Of your alums. No, the play he's talking about, Le'Veon Bell was going down the sidelines, and he juked and deked the defenders where he was pretending he was going to go out of bounds, and then he stopped. And the kid that was a defensive back at the University of Houston, I want to say it was Jackson, he came up and was like, oh, he's going out of bounds, I'm done, and pulled up and just completely gave up. And the linebacker stopped too. And Bell stopped, faked it, kept going, never went out of bounds, and went an extra 25 yards for a touchdown. And they're like, oh, he had to step out of bounds. That's why they quit. And then they went to the replay.
He just quit.
It was both guys just quit.
No, I missed that play. But I did see the one where he kind of got hit and they were worried about it. But no, I missed the one where he got an extra 25 yards and got the touchdown.
Oh, it was brutal. Yeah, if you go back and look at the replay, like he basically looks like he's given up and he's going to step out of bounds. So both defenders stop, and he just went, oh, psych, and just stopped and kept going again and went right down the sideline.
To Juan's point, I think that, yeah, tackling now is a lost art. He talked about it was poor tackling, use your face mask. But again, I think sometimes these guys are just going on instinct and the instinct of just launching your body at somebody now in that particular case. But in general, you'll see, and you see it a lot from secondary guys where they have no intentions of wrapping up with a form tackle. They're just going to throw their body at whoever has the ball. And if they happen to knock them down, great. It's almost like human bowling where they're the ball and the runner's the pin. But So it's a lost art, really, the form tackle. You don't see it as much as you used to. I think guys just, I don't know if it's giving up their body or what. I don't know. I don't get it.
All right, before the break, let's get Alex in here real quick. Alex, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it.
I want to talk about Ryan Shazier as well. Now, do you think that since that was such a gruesome injury, I don't know how far it's what they found out since last night, but to me, I played football through high school and college. And if I would have seen something like that, that might have deterred me from maybe playing ball anymore. From what it looked like, the man, he couldn't even use his legs, right? So do you think that's going to affect the future of the game? You know, how these parents let their kids get after it. And even in the same game, they carted off Vontaze Burfict on a hit that probably didn't need the stretcher. Apparently he got up in the tunnel and was fine. Do you think that it'll sensitize the game a little bit as it should? Or is he just another cog in the wheel?
I think it already has. I think that CTE has put a lot of fear into a lot of players. You look at a guy like Borland, a linebacker from the University of Wisconsin, his rookie year at the Niners, was having a hell of a year and just decided after 1 year and after all he was reading and all the research he had done about CTE's concussions and the aftermath of which, he just walked away from the game. And you went through a stretch already where you saw a lot of players that just decided, yeah, man, it's not for me anymore. I'm not risking it, and I'm taking off. So football's not for everybody. I don't think it's going to affect the game, but I do think that it's already had an effect in terms of players wanting to do other things instead of risking injury.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to have an effect on what he brought up, parents and allowing their kids, because this wouldn't be the first time that someone was paralyzed from playing football. And if that was going to affect a parent's decision, then those times in the past would have as well.
Was it Daryl Stingley was the first one paralyzed?
Well, I mean, there was the college
Patriots
kid as well.
Way back
I mean,
when.
There's been plenty of instances of it happening, and not to mention the CTE and everything else, the violence. I mean, when you hell, all you gotta do is take your kid to get an autograph signed by Earl Campbell, watch him walk away. Do you mm-hmm. want your kid to? Do you want your kid walking like that when they get older?
But you know what, Barry?
I don't think that it's going to matter. But I think who it would matter to the most are the people on the team, the people that were on the field that night. It doesn't surprise me, or it wouldn't have surprised me if the Steelers would have lost that game after that and gotten blown out. How could you concentrate when you just saw a teammate do that? I mean, there were guys crying. In fact, they had one guy that said he's never seen anything like that, and it was the first time that it ever made him question what he was doing on the field.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I mean, look.
Especially being out there.
And from a parental perspective, I think it's a dialogue that the parents are having at the kitchen table or somewhere in their house, because I think the moms don't want the kid playing football. I think the dads, even those that really passionately want them to play football, are at least listening to the conversation, especially at a young age. because of the fact that they see these injuries out there. I've got buddies of mine that have sons that definitely want them to play football, and their wives are adamant about they're going to play soccer.
That could be, yeah. I could see that.
All right, good call. We appreciate that. We're going to continue to roll on. We got a half hour before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. We got plenty more to get to, so we'll get to some things. And if there's things on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a call, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back in just mere minutes on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects as we roll through the final two segments of the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz, which will be on, but is not on right now. Ricky, you want to get in here on football and bad hits. What's up?
Oh, it's not about bad hits. It's just about, like, you're talking about parents in general were saying, like, that they're not so, I guess, they don't want their kids playing football. But, you know, like, injuries can happen in any sport, like, especially in basketball. We saw this year. Gordon Hayward, you know, he broke his leg. Paul George broke his leg. Baseball, pitchers get beamed in the head, you know, with the, you know, a hit right back to them, you know. So I know it's about, like, the whole CTE, and, you know, it's always been a big thing. Like, injuries can happen anywhere in any sport. You know, Kevin Ware, you know, his whole leg, like, was basically – you know, snapped in half, you know. That's just about it. Like, it's just like injuries can happen anywhere, you know. I played football for a while. I got out because, you know, I hurt my back too. But it can happen anytime, any sport.
Appreciate the call, Ricky. Yeah, you know, of course they can. But there's a big difference in being paralyzed and, you know, getting a broken leg. And I'm not trying to discredit or minimize some of the horrific injuries we've seen in basketball or even baseball. I mean, what was it? Jim Abbott lost a hand.
Did you really? Did you really?
All right. Maybe that was inappropriate.
That was beyond
shots fired. That was inappropriate. but I'm just saying, yeah, I get it. It's bad.
Did you just say he gave him a high five?
No, I didn't. That was you. That was all you.
Question.
I am a horrible influence. Nick said that. I'm a horrible influence on you guys. I can't believe you just made a high five joke about
I didn't. I thought Nick
you're
said
a horrible,
that.
You're a horrible person.
Oh, he's putting it on me.
Yeah.
I thought you said that.
You and Nick are terrible people. but there's a huge difference than losing, you know, getting a leg broken and being paralyzed, or worse yet, when you look at some of the suicides that have occurred that they think are the results of the CTE
and all that, yeah.
Big difference.
Look,
big
some of this difference. Stuff now, is, I'm not some saying of this there's stuff you know what you signed up for, the broken legs and things. Yep. But like you're talking about,
that's whole another level of risk. And Alex Perkins on Twitter was saying, man, if you want proof the parents are keeping their kids out, look at baseball. They're getting bigger. He said, it's hard to believe that some of those guys didn't want to play football when they were grown. And it's a valid point. But I think for every, you know, he mentioned Mike Moustakas as a guy who was the smallest guy in the home run derby at 6 foot 215. But for every one of those, they're still they're not hurting for draft picks in the NFL.
Right.
So yeah, there were probably some parents, but overall, I think the interest is still there. I mean, I don't think Pop Warner teams are scrounging for kids.
The reality is, like, a lot of parents were ahead of the game. Like, I'll just speak for myself. Like, there was no way my parents were going to let me play. Didn't let my brother play football. A lot of them, because there was really no regard for some of the injuries afterwards. Like, there was the way they dealt with injuries back then was just kind of, it was kind of just, I don't know.
Rub some dirt on
inhumane,
it.
Inhumane, you know what I mean? Just
put some crotch oil on it and walk it off.
Yeah, man. I mean,
yeah.
So,
my dad was more like, he loved football. But he said, if you mess up your baseball career by getting hurt in football, I'll never forgive you, and put a ton of pressure on me. And he told me, like, if you're going to play, I'm not even going to watch. And then I'd catch him, like, on the street level, looking through the fence, watching the actual games. But that's what it was his way of saying, because he didn't want anything to happen to the potential of me playing baseball on a different level. And I get that. But I think, to your point, Barry, I agree with what you're saying. But at the same time, there's some real conversations and dialogue that are happening and probably more that should be happening within the family dynamic simply because of the fact that, and I'm not putting it just on the mothers, but there are plenty of concerned parents that are saying, look, you're not going to play football. And if you are, you do want to choose to play football later as you get older, then we'll figure out a certain time where we'll allow you to have some say-so in the discussion. But for now, especially at a younger age, there's a lot of parents that are saying, you're just not playing football.
And I think the NFL knows that. That's why they started that heads-up program where they're trying to teach kids how to properly tackle, not using the crown of their helmet and all that. So it's good, but I just don't know if the amount of parents that are – you know, totally against it is going to have a significant impact on the, you know.
I'm with you. I don't think it's going to have a big impact. I mean, especially when there's so many players out there who this is their lives, like they're trying to, and that's where a bulk of the talent comes from.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Somebody said, if you want to talk about horrific baseball injuries, how about that bird that Randy Johnson killed?
That's a good point.
That was hilarious.
That damn bird blew up.
Yeah. Name me something worse than exploding. Huh? Yeah. I didn't think so. Baseball. Most horrific
injuries.
I bet
there was a meeting in the nest after that. I can tell you that, right? Because there will be no other, although there are going to be empty nesters that are going to say that they get to do their own thing. It was a shot.
I have no idea what you were saying.
Just like we said, parents are going to talk, have discussions, frank discussions about their kids.
You just had a CTE
After the bird blew up, there was plenty of conversations in the nest.
No.
All right, one segment to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. We'll be back with a whole lot more, at least a little bit more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects before we turn over to the Blitz. We had teased this a while back, but if you missed it yesterday, we mentioned that LeVar Ball has pulled out LiAngelo Ball from UCLA. And it says he's getting his son now primed and ready to play in the NBA next year. He also said that the punishment that the Chinese government gave his son was enough, that he didn't really like what UCLA was doing, which is ridiculous. But then there was a couple of...
That's the best part.
...responses on Twitter that were absolutely fantastic. First, as I mentioned, Adrian Wojnarowski, who is the famous for the Woj bomb when he drops breaking news in the NBA that he has because he has so many sources... he tweets out, ex-UCLA freshman LiAngelo Ball has no chance that he'll be drafted in June, and that was true before his shoplifting incident in China. He's not on any of our scouting lists, even the extended lists, one GM told me. And then he retweeted, no chance. The better one was then, after rumors started surfacing that one possible landing spot for LiAngelo Ball was a Lithuanian basketball club, and the rumors were flying to the point that it got to the coach of Lietka Belis of the Lithuanian Basketball League, the coach responded with the following. Yes, we have openings at the security desk since they have experience in this field.
Oh, snap.
Wow.
Drop
the mic,
goodness.
Step away from the keyboard, and walk away a winner.
Man, I love it.
It's a fact, though.
And they deserve every bit of these shots that are getting taken at them. I'm not going to feel sorry for them.
I'm not either.
And you know what?
They say the more you read, the more you say that exactly what Woj said, that even if he went back to UCLA, there was no guarantees he was going to start or get major playing time. I don't know how good the other two kids are. But the fact of the matter is, if you really want to get down to brass tacks, they got off light. And even to bash the president, as much as there's backlash and back and forth about the current president of the United States, if he doesn't step in, if he doesn't get involved, you don't want to do hard time in China.
No. That is not a place you want to be. Nope.
LeVar said he sent Donald Trump red, white, and blue pairs of Big Baller brand shoes. So he did his thank yous.
Come on.
Just a bunch of crap.
Yeah, he ain't wearing those.
No, but it's still just a bunch of crap. regardless. I mean, the whole thank you and back and forth and everything else, too. I mean, the whole story got way too much pub. But from everything that you hear, look, and based on the way he was playing and Nick was talking about, we you know, watching that game the other night in L.A., yeah, he said 2 triple-doubles on the year. But overall, do you really think that he's been anything short of a disappointment as being a top-3 pick in the NBA this year?
I mean, so far, he's been a letdown. Yeah.
Right? So now they're talking about the youngest one possibly having the most talent. But now he's talking about, I'm going to rescind the scholarship offer that has already been offered to my youngest son for UCLA, possibly, and just, as I'm homeschooling him now, get him ready for the league.
Well, bye.
I think UCLA would be like, please,
yeah,
do it now.
God, get out of our hair. Yeah. Bye. Seriously, no, you know what? You're right. We should part ways. The Ball family and UCLA should no longer be a thing. If I was at UCLA, oh, I would be begging for that.
No
Absolutely.
Question about it. No doubt about it. I'm so sick and tired of hearing from all of them. But the fact that he's got this grandiose false perception of his own sons all being one and dones and NBA lotto picks, he got lucky, dare I say, that he got his one son to be a top-3 pick with that ugly jump shot and the way that he has not been grasping the NBA games to this point. And he could be very good. Don't get me wrong. But for to be a lotto pick, you should be Jason Tatum.
He talked him into it.
Yeah.
He did.
And now he's saying, look, you watch. Someday you guys are all going to be wondering, how did he do that when I get all 3 of my sons to play for the Lakers? That could be a rec league team somewhere in the California
Called
area
the
that,
Lakers.
I'm, that I'm not aware of. Yeah. But yeah, good luck with
it. It's just too much family to deal with for anybody.
Too much dad.
Granato and Lance and Raheel had it right. They are the Kardashians of the sports world.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
Indeed. Okay, so I saw a couple of things that I wanted to... Oh, do we have a caller? Okay. Quentin. Yeah, Quentin wants to talk LeVar Ball. Great.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good show.
What's up, Quentin?
Hey, man, that LeVar Ball, you know, just I think the guy is just really teaching his sons just a lesson of not being able to what am I trying to say here?
Quentin, this is a well thought out call you had. This is a well thought out call.
Well, no, I had it in my mind, and then when you guys finally answered, I had a brain fart. But there's no consequences for his actions. You know, I personally think that you know, President Trump probably should have left him out there and then let LeVar Ball work on trying to get his son out so he can see how hard it actually would have been and maybe, you know, hopefully taught his son a lesson because now he's pulling this kid out of UCLA. I mean, why don't you let the kid get an education and, heck, you never know. He might actually turn out to be better than Lonzo. I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, appreciate the call, Quentin.
When it can't get from your mind to your mouth, that's lost in transition.
you know, I don't know.
Here's the thing. He wasn't going to get a full education anyway.
No. Nope.
Because he was only going to be there for 1 year that's taking BS courses to get through.
So it's a moot point.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. On to bigger and better things, like this guy in South Carolina who showed up at a Waffle House to eat. And he goes inside, and there's no one there. And there's no one at the front thing, and there's no one behind the
counter
making food. And so he walks around, and he sees that there's one employee in a booth asleep. So instead of waking the dude up, he's like, man, he's probably tired. I'll let him sleep. He goes behind the counter and makes himself a Texas bacon cheesesteak melt. And he's taking selfies while he's making it. So then he leaves. He cleans the grill, by the way. He cleans up. He cleans everything up, he leaves, and then the next day he comes back when there's people there and pays. So he didn't steal. He just
went
in.
No one noticed this on the camera footage or anything.
No, and then he's taking selfies. He posts them on Facebook. The employee has been suspended, but then they offered him a job because obviously he has skills as a cook.
And also a great deal of integrity and honesty.
Yeah, to go back and pay for it, but I'm sure he was
solid.
Probably on camera. I thought that was funny. Now, you want something sad? You want some sad news?
Sure.
In 2010, a guy bought a pizza for 10,000 bitcoins. He said, I'll pay 10,000 bitcoins for a couple pizzas, like maybe 2 large pizzas. I just don't want to leave. It was the first known transaction using bitcoins. At the time, the 10,000 bitcoins and the pizza was worth $40. So some guy offered 10,000 bitcoins to another guy to bring him 2 pizzas. The transaction was made on a message board. The transfer of the 10,000 bitcoins took place. The guy takes him the 2 pizzas. That's it. Fast forward to now. It says, in other words, had the pizza eater simply used cash and held onto those coins, today he'd be sitting on $100 million.
Oh, wow. My God.
So the to reiterate, 10,000 bitcoins was a value of $40. As of the writing, a single bitcoin now trades for $11,700. It would have been worth $100 million.
Dang.
That's like what? And it's the first transaction. You know that that guy is sitting at home just like, I'm sure he has other Bitcoin. I'm sure. I hope he didn't have like, well, I'm going to get 10,000 Bitcoin, buy some pizzas and call it. I'm out. I'm out of the Bitcoin business. But you go from $40.
That's unreal.
To $100 million.
See, those good investments never happened to me. So, no. Yeah, it always aggravates.
But I wouldn't have trusted like Bitcoin to begin with. So, it's one of those things, and you're going to hear people are, I'm willing to bet you, people are going to lose money eventually.
Oh, and the Van Winkle twins, the guys that...
Winklevoss
Facebook twins. Or, yeah, the guys that supposedly started Facebook before Zucker took their idea and ran with it, Zuckerberg. They just were declared billionaires for their investment in Bitcoin.
They invested $11 million, and now it's worth $1.2
billion. Crazy.
That's crazy.
That's what you get when you invest in shows like this. That's all I'm telling you.
That's right.
So with greatness like this, we are followed by true leaders in the profession. It's the Blitz next. It's Fred, AJ, Jong, and the rest of the crew on the Blitz. We'll see you again tomorrow and every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Practiced all the things
I would say. ESPN 97.5.